Hey, last night was one for the ages. You'll always remember where you were. If you were at that game, you'll never forget it. It was an instant classic that will go down in Nuggets lore. And, well, let's relive it again. This is KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
What's going to take it for him to get going here in this fourth? He has to use the mid-range. He has to use the floaters. He has to get layups that way.
On cue. The on cue is right. Hard to the right. That time by Watson. He gets it at the other end. Jokic the assist. 6-0 run, Denver.
Murray. Yes. That's the mid-range, Rick.
Murray again. To the hole.
It is a one-possession game now.
Caldwell pokes on James. Davis with the screen. LeBron free. Bullseye. Shot clock at 6. James over Gordon 3. Sticks it! Sticks it! Shot clock at 4. Caldwell Pope defends. LeBron chiseling, leaning, and... Wow! Foul on the play. Lock at 4. Screened by Jokic. Knocked away by LeBron! The steal! The drive! LeBron James! Drops the sledgehammer! 3-point game. Jokic the other way. The pass down low.
Goodness.
And Lakers by 2, Denver the other way. Davis will defend. Gets the screen. LeBron comes up on him. Here is for the tie.
The mid-range. The mid-range. I love it. Don't call it. Tie ball game. Worst can happen. We go to overtime.
Murray makes a move.
Denver.
Wow. You don't come back from a loss like that. If you're the Lakers, right? Not when you put this on top of all the recent misery that you've had against the Nuggets, the 9 straight losses. Mm. You don't.
Well, it's 10 now.
That's what I mean. Now right. That it's 10, you don't. But this being the. Because. The Lakers did everything right. They had a game plan. They followed it to a T. They were up by 20. They were poised to win the kind of game that shows that they can make adjustments. They can find a way to beat the Nuggets. They can beat the Nuggets in their own building. They can show to the basketball world that they have pride. And that enough was enough with the 9 straight losses to the Nuggets. They could have changed the narrative so much and actually made this a series where I think we'd all be here this morning when they were down by 20, the Nuggets thinking, okay, this maybe is a different Laker team. Instead, it's the same old Laker team, and more importantly, it's the same old Nugget team. And that's pretty darn cool.
For all the people say, hey, they played the perfect game, and you just said it, and it was said on the broadcast last night. Look, they hit 43.3% of their three-pointers. Russell was 7 of 11 from three-point land. Like, your odds, the Nuggets were 23%, 8 of 34 three-pointers. The odds of you playing that way again at any time, to me, slim. They outshot. They had 48.7% from the field. The Nuggets were 44% from the field. I'm telling you, man. Offensive rebounds 9-4 in favor of the Nuggets. Total rebounds 45-38 in favor of the Nuggets. I'm just telling you. Like, the odds of you being able to have that kind of performance that you had last night and still lose, like, you had that performance, you still lost. The odds of you coming out and shooting lights out like you did in three quarters, like, those numbers would have been if you keep those numbers up throughout the quarter, throughout that fourth quarter, he'd have been 50-some-odd percent from the three-point land, and you'd have been close to, 58, 59% from the field. But Like, they play that perfect game. They have all their shots going down, and they still get their ass kicked.
Yeah.
It's just...
I just don't think... as a fan, I don't think you recover from that.
Mm-mm.
So you as a...
But seriously, you as a
former pro athlete, come on. You recognize it. It doesn't matter what sport you played. How demoralizing is that loss? How much of a gut punch is that loss? And when you factor in the recent history between these two teams, and now you put this kind of as like the cherry on top, honestly, I know the Lakers are going to do all the brave talk over the next few days. You know, hey, as a series doesn't really begin until the home team loses, blah, 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 blah. You know, now we got to go back right to our place, and we got to hold serve and win our two. You're going to hear it all. But do they have any chance?
Right. I could see the Nuggets giving one up in L.A.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Just like for, okay, let's get back to Denver now.
Yeah.
Let's go win. We're up 3-0. We give one up. Okay, now let's get back to Denver and win this on our home court. You know, the gentleman's sweep.
Yeah.
But I've been on both sides of that, Mike. I've had the confidence of knowing that we're playing the Raiders, and no matter how good the Raiders play, we're better than them. We're mostly tougher than them. We're mentally tougher and sharper and smarter than them. And we will win this game. And just having that confidence. And I've also been on the other side of that, where when I was early in my career in Washington, we could not beat the Giants. And we'd play them tough and we'd play them close, but they'd always find a way to beat us. And there was that kind of aspect of, we're going in here and we're going to give them hell, and we always did, and we were always close, and it was always good, but we'd always seem to find a way to lose by, you know, a late touchdown that gives them a 4-point victory or a field goal or whatever the case may be. And it always felt like it just kind of worked out that way. And there was that in the back of your mind that when something didn't go right for you, you're like, oh gosh, here we go. Here we go. And the Lakers have won. The Nuggets have got to feel like no matter what they do, we're tougher than them and we're better than them and we'll find a way to win. And the Lakers have got to be looking at, you know, if we don't play perfect, a second one clanks off the back of the rim and they start the fast break again, we're in trouble.
Yeah. Well, game one, Nuggets are down 12, come back and win. This one, down 20, come back and win. Michael Malone, what was the message at halftime?
I told him at halftime, like, I did not like how he walked off the court at halftime. I felt like we were feeling sorry for ourselves a little bit. They came in, they were kicking our ass, and we dropped our heads. I didn't like our spirit. I didn't like our disposition. And I told them that at halftime, I said, it's a lot of basketball left. Stay with it. You know, this is a funny business. And our guys did that.
D'Angelo Russell disappeared in the fourth. Anthony Davis disappeared in the fourth. How about this line, this tweet from George Carl? AD's always been a hell of a player for three quarters. Too bad the NBA is a four-quarter game.
Right.
Rogue, play the ouch.
Yeah.
Right there. Holy smokes. But he's right. He's right.
Ouch. There's a lot of truthiness
there. There's
right
a lot
there.
Of truthiness. And as Nugget fans in what is, honestly, I believe just the beginning of a golden era in Nuggets basketball that has a lot of time left in it and will never be seen around here again. The thing, there's so much to embrace and love and make sure you don't take for granted, but their ability to perform in the clutch in a league in which you just see so many players and so many teams just crumble in the face of fourth quarter pressure. These guys not only embrace it, but in the case of like a Jamal Murray, able to, or even a Nikola Jokic. Because, you know, you look up Jokic's numbers and at the end of the night, they're unbelievable. But, you know, there was a feeling through three quarters, he was kind of getting whooped by Anthony Davis.
Well, he was. I mean, at one point, Anthony Davis was like 14 of 15 from the field. I mean, everything he threw up went in. And he got the better of when there was a one-on-one matchup on each side of the court. He was a better offensive player than Jokic was, and he was a much better defensive player than Jokic was.
But then he disappeared. right? Then he disappeared. And in the fourth quarter, who's the one that's making the defensive plays? Who's the one that's making the plays? It's Nikola Jokic. So it's not only these guys' ability to embrace the moment, it's their mental toughness to shake off whatever's happened for the first three quarters.
That to me is the biggest part of this, Mike, is just their overall mental toughness, their ability to just kind of cinch it up and say, let's go. And I am telling you, if there's one kind of skill or one attribute that you want out of your athletes more than anything else, and I say this all the time, it is toughness and intelligence. I will take toughness and intelligence over athleticism every single day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Give me tough-minded dudes that are smart, and I'll win a lot of football games or a lot of basketball games with those dudes.
So remember I said I thought that I had heard Nick Wright say that the NBA has to do something about this altitude thing, and you know, then I started to maybe second-guess myself that I was being spoofed or something, you know? Nope. Not only did he say it, we got the audio.
But the NBA probably at some point needs to look in this altitude thing. It seems like a unique, unfair. Well, I get it. It just seems a little. Yeah. It seems a little unfair. I gotta tell you, like this whole thing of like Denver never having, except for I guess Melo or Alex English, even like a Hall of Fame level player. Maybe that was the Dan Issel. That's the way it was supposed to be. Because this is like they're an unfair advantage. I'm not making any excuses, and I know it's going to get clipped, but you got to at least look into it. You got to do something. Like, give them extra timeouts or something, man. I don't like it.
So I guess what he's saying is we need the basketball equivalent of a humidor.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
We need the basketball equivalent of the humidor to even out the whole altitude thing.
Yeah, because it's worked so well for Utah.
Yeah.
Right. And it worked so well here for 47 years. I mean, the Nuggets had such a huge unfair altitude advantage that for 47 years, all they did here was win championships.
Yeah.
But that's when you know you're drawing for your last straws to kind of find a way to
certainly with Nick there's tongue in cheek involved in that, but
there's also some truth to it.
Right, there's also the I really want the Lakers to be able to win this, and my takes in regards to the Nuggets and Nikola Jokic have been so bad for so many years, now I'm making excuses. Like, he has just been awful when it comes to, you know, he's been just horribly wrong in pretty much everything that in that regard.
Well, great job, Nuggets. Awesome. Up 2-0. 10 straight wins over the Lakers. Don't know how the Lakers recover from this one. Feels like a gentleman's sweep. Nuggets probably split in L.A. Lakers get one. Fine. And then come back and wrap it up in a five and look ahead to the next round. Now, that's the Nuggets situation. How about the Avalanche situation as they get set to play tonight in Winnipeg, 7:30 face-off? And it's funny, listening to some of the players yesterday, there's been so much made of, hey, you're 0-4 against Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. You're 0-3 during the regular season. You'd been outscored 17-4. Did that performance in a loss give you guys confidence? And the Avs kind of bowed their back on that idea. Well, you listen. Here's Josh Manson.
Yeah, I mean, it helps, I think, knowing that we can score goals against them. I mean, I don't think we ever didn't believe we could, though. You know, I think we trusted in our offense that was in this room. We felt like we played, like I said, like a really good game last night. It's just the mistakes that were made that cost us it. So, I think the belief is still there, and it wasn't a major confidence boost. I think it was always there.
How about Ross Colton?
Playoffs are a different animal, and I think, you know, for us, we just came out. We came out hungry. Whatever happened in the regular season, you know, it's a new season starting now. So we turned the page on that. We did a good job watching some video on them, kind of knowing what their strengths and weaknesses are, and tried to capitalize on that. So, again, it's just for us to, you know, learn from game one and, you know, move forward here.
Okay, get ready. Go ahead. Fire it up. Jinxie Cat, all that. As win tonight.
Jinxie, no!
Do they now?
Yeah. And maybe they need to score another six goals. But I think a combination of things. I think they really discovered something offensively. They got to Connor Hellebuyck, who is supposed to be a runaway Vezina Trophy for the best goaltender. They clearly got to him. He's got to be a little bit rattled, wouldn't you think, after the Avs made it look so effortless in scoring goals against him. They got a lot of traffic in front of him. He never looked comfortable. And I think that continues tonight. And I believe that whoever's in goal, even if it's Georgie, I think you'll see a tighter commitment in front of him. I just think you're going to see a better all-around Avalanche effort. I think they're going to be better defensively. I'm not telling you that I believe that Georgiev all of a sudden fixes things.
Right.
What I'm telling you is I think the Avalanche are going to play one of their best defensive games of the season. And it's going to be one of their more well-rounded, tighter performances of the season. And I think they get a win tonight. Even it up.
So you think Hellebuyck is a little rattled. We think Georgie is a lot of rattled.
Sure. Yeah.
I let Colton say, hey, we, studied some tape, saw some of their weaknesses, you know, things we could attack. You think the Jets get a study tape? They saw the weakness.
Okay, so it sounds like you don't give the Avs any kind of chance.
I think our goaltending is such that, come on, man, 4 goals in 10 shots. That's not tighter defense. 10 shots. Tight defense is you only gave up 10 shots. 4 goals is you've got, you know, a blind pirate between the pipes. I'm sorry, but I have zero faith in Puddin' Pie. That's Georgie Porgy.
I know.
Puddin' in pie.
Mm-hmm. You got to learn your rhymes. You got to learn them. So said the great Dice Man. Speaking of Mother Goose.
Yeah.
By the way, Mother Goose is still out there.
Oh,
yeah. For those of you who are wondering, you need a Mother Goose update. Mother Goose, the mama goose that has been sitting on her eggs for weeks now. Same place. There's a giant planter we have out front, and she's been there for going on 4 weeks.
It feels to me like...
She's got to be close.
I hope so. I hope these little geesels? Geeslings?
Goslings?
Goslings? I hope they hatch soon.
I know. By the way, I haven't seen Dad in a while.
I haven't either.
Kind of curious about him.
By the way, what does Mother Goose do with the goslings when she just kicks them off the top of the...
I guess so. Here you go.
It's nice. So you have a newborn gosling, and the next thing you know, you got to have an ACL reconstruction on the damn thing when it falls off the planter.
Hyperextended a knee or something.
Right.
But yeah, she's been out there in a planter, a big planter outside our front door for weeks now. And
I had a long chat with her this morning.
Really?
Long chat.
I do a quick little, every time I walk in, I'm just like, hello, Mother Goose. I hope you're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Hang in there.
Yeah.
It won't be long now.
Right.
You're awesome. That's kind of my message. What did you say to her this morning?
I said, I call her sometimes. I call her, Mama Bear, you're doing a great job. I said, it's so good to see you again this morning. I mean, every day I get a little closer to her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm still maintaining a healthy distance.
So. I get a little closer every day because I feel like at some point she might just flutter up onto my shoulder.
Oh, really? Then you won't be able to get rid of her.
Right. She'd be like, I feel like we're becoming friends. You know, you see those, like, when you save, like, a baby deer or something, and then they bring all the deer to your house, you know, in these cute little videos. Yeah. You know, you rascal, you know.
I saw one the other day about this couple who rescued a baby puma, and they raised it like a dog.
Yeah.
And now this thing is like a full-grown, badass Puma. And yet it's all lovey-dovey until its instincts take over and then it eats them.
Right. What?
How sad are you going to be when this is all over
that's a good question.
Mama Goose leaves?
I'm going to feel a little something.
No, it's like raising kids. You know, you got to raise them upright and then you got to let them leave the nest, Rogue. By the way, you know what drives me crazy is all the different kind of cats that are like the same but different. Like we just named them like Puma, Bobcat, Lynx. Like what the hell's the difference? You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Does it bother anybody else? Cougar.
Yeah. Speaking of cougars.
Yeah. We got a new...
Heard from Connery DeHuff yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, Connery DeHuff is not happy that there's now competition.
Oh.
Now that Zach Wilson's
in. Dude, it's like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. There's a new player in town.
Well, yeah, not only a new player, but, you know, young and a real threat to the throne, you know? Can Connery DeHuff hang in there?
I don't know.
But you got a young contender, hungry.
I know one thing. I'm gonna have to text Sean Payton and tell him absolutely zero headbands. If this kid wears, you know, the Mr. Miyagi headband, I might have to come over there.
That would be a good first move as he moves on to the second stage of his career.
Right.
To acknowledge that I'm no longer a boy.
Right.
It's time to be a man.
It's time to grow up.
The headband is gone.
Right. It was kind of like When Sean said when he came here, how about less, you know, more anonymous donors, a little bit less on the social media, and then Russ kind of went away for a while on the social media, and it was like glorious. It was like time to breathe. A lot less cringeworthy moments on the internet. It's the same thing for Zach Wilson. Let's, like, the headband thing. Listen, you are not in the movies. Right? You're not making a comeback. You're not fighting Cobra Kai.
I like this one on the text line. Dear Mike and Mark, let's ride. Sincerely, Denver single moms.
Wow. Meow.
Meow. Oh, so does it shock you at all? We just happened to look up. There's Shannon. Shannon and Stephen A.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what they're arguing. Here's the title. Biggest reason for Lakers collapse?
Biggest? Mm-hmm.
Because we can't give the Nuggets credit.
No.
Can't be about
the Nuggets
the
actually doing their
performances
job. Yes.
Of Murray and Jokic in the fourth quarter. No. We can't do that.
Hey, by the way, just on a side note,
snaps a 37-game win streak for the Lakers, including the playoffs, when leading by 20-plus points in a game.
On a little sidebar note, in regards to the draft, do we have any latest mock drafts and how they've changed since Zach Wilson was acquired?
Ooh.
Like, when do the last mock drafts come out? Have they already come out?
There'll be a couple more that will come out.
Right.
So you think this changes? What message does the Broncos acquiring Zach Wilson send to you about their plans for Thursday?
It sends a message to me that they're not moving up to chase a quarterback. I don't believe. I never believed they were going to anyhow, but this to me just solidifies that.
Why? Because if the idea is that you're bringing in a guy like Zach Wilson for quarterback rehab, much like what Kyle Shanahan did with Sam Darnold in San Francisco, he was never brought in with the idea that he was going to, you know, challenge for a position. He was there to rehab. Right. So if that's the same idea with Zach Wilson, then why can't you still swing big for a quarterback?
I think it just shows. I personally feel like it shows you that there's nobody up there that you can go get that is worthy of giving up all the draft capital. So what you're saying is we're going to build our football team. We've built it with another backup quarterback that, hey, listen, this guy was as talented, if not more talented, than anybody in this current draft, save maybe, you know, what's his head, Caleb Williams. So I mean, think about it. If Zach Wilson was coming out in this draft class, would he be a top tier quarterback?
Oh, yeah.
There's no question.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. He'd be talked about as being a top 5 or 6 pick. Oh, no, for sure. Which is something to consider for all of you who are so down on the idea of the Broncos bringing in Zach Wilson, and yet in the same breath you'll turn around and say, but we got to go get Jaden Daniels, or we got to go get J.J. McCarthy. Yeah.
Or Drake May.
Right.
He's our guy.
Even though Zach Wilson or Drake May, Zach Wilson or Jaden Daniels, they're all interchangeable. The fact is there's a very likely chance, about an 80% chance, that Jaden Daniels or Drake May or J.J. McCarthy in 3 years will be Zach Wilson. And they'll be sold off to another team for a 6th-round pick. And their team's fans will be saying, why did we trade for this guy? He's a bust. We got to go get the latest du jour of that year. Hey, speaking of the draft, we got a draft party for you. Starting at 4 p.m. this Thursday, our NFL draft party live from Dave and Buster's in Denver. From 4 to 6, we'll do a special roundtable hosted by Zach Bye, featuring Brandon Stokely, Philip Lindsay, and there he is, Mark Schlereth. And then from 6 to 10 p.m., NFL insider James Palmer, Cecil Lammy, John Davis will take you through the rest of the NFL draft. That's Thursday, starting at 4 p.m. live from Dave and Buster's in Denver. One of the most hypocritical things I've ever heard. And thank God Sir Charles was there to call it out. That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Can you fit me in your plans? I like you. I do. We went out of France and we woke up in Japan. I like you. I do. Oh, girl, I know you only like it fancy.
So sign out to hit the hardwood. Brought to you by Papa Murphy's.
This is unbelievable. What I was hearing from the Lakers after the game was just, I mean, it takes a lot to really like stun me as a sports fan, sports observer.
Right.
This one stunned me. After you blow a 20-point lead, and cough up the game and likely ruin your chances of winning the series, you'd think that there would be a little bit more accountability from the Lakers. Instead, they just played the whine game and blame the officiating. Here's Darvin Ham after the game. Quote, some tough calls, some tough non-calls. But you can't use any of that as an excuse. Let me pause as he gets ready to use it as an excuse. Continue. You got to go out there and be ready to make plays whether the whistle gets blown or not. It's getting real tricky. You go through the season, games being officiated one way, and then you get to the playoffs, and I guess it's left up to the interpretation of the three individual guys that's doing the job out there. When I saw that after the game, I was like, are you kidding me?
Right, you're joking?
You got to be joking. And thank goodness, Charles Barkley immediately said, enough of this nonsense.
I didn't like that road.
What road?
About the officials had nothing to do with that game.
Well, he's a coach.
Yeah, that's, I don't care who you are. You have to, it's two things here. The Lakers, this is all about the Denver Nuggets. I don't even think the Lakers, I mean, obviously when you give up a 20-point lead, you have to make some mistakes. But look, they made every play down the stretch, and so did the Nuggets. This had nothing to do with the officiate, man. Get them Nuggets credit, man. Them boys balled out.
Amen. Amen. And by the way, Chuck went on to say, you can't be taking what Joker's doing for granted.
I just hope we appreciate this dude, man. Because they're going to put some numbers up. We will talk. There's some stats they're going to put up.
Yeah.
It's only been done by the creme de la creme in the history of this game.
What they're talking about, 25 points, 20-plus rebounds, 10-plus assists playoff games. Okay?
Okay.
25, 20, and 10.
What do you have points, 27 total?
Was that his points total?
Yes, 27, yeah. 20, and 10.
Okay.
So in the history of the NBA playoffs, Johnny, I can't read your writing. Dave Cowens did it once. That's a one? That's how you draw a one?
Let me see this.
Tell me if that's a one.
I was writing it quickly. I have awful handwriting, first of all.
Amen.
But yeah, I was writing it quickly for myself, and then like you're like, oh, can I take this?
That looks like a nine.
Yeah.
But the right. other ones are, I give are they? The other ones, yeah.
All right. Only thing missing is I'm putting like a little heart over it or something. Dave Cowens
You shouldn't be talking about your handwriting.
Yours is beautiful.
Thank you.
You have the penmanship of a
14-year-old girl.
Exactly.
Settle down just a little bit.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did it once.
Mm-hmm.
Wilt Chamberlain did it twice.
Yeah.
How many times do you think Nikola Jokic has done it? 25, 20, and 10. In the playoffs.
Three times?
Four.
Four times.
That's what Charles is referencing. How about this? Highest percentage of playoff games recording a triple-double. Okay?
Okay.
So this is, what is the percentage of playoff games that you've played where you had a triple-double in those games?
Ooh. Can I guess?
Let me move up. Let me move up the list a little bit. So just to kind of put it all in perspective here, some of these names. Jason Kidd, 7% of his playoff games were triple-doubles. Rajon Rondo, 7.5%.
Okay.
Oscar Robertson, 9% of his playoff games ended in triple-doubles.
Okay.
LeBron James, 10%.
10%, okay.
Russell Westbrook, 10%.
10%.
Magic Johnson. What do you think Magic Johnson's number is? Because you think of playoff triple doubles, you probably think of Magic, right?
I would think 17%.
Close. 16% of Magic's playoff games ended in triple doubles. Now, Nikola Jokic, he's played 70 playoff games. What do you think the percentage of those 70 playoff games ended in triple doubles?
32%.
Whoa. Not that many.
26%.
24.
24%.
So 24%. Now, smaller sample size compared to
32, and you acted like,
well, 30 is like a third of every playoff game. And well, I guess actually
24% is close to a third of every playoff game.
Well, it's quarter.
Right.
Not a third.
It's close.
Close, but
I mean 24 to 32 is not it's 24.
Daily math lesson, everybody.
24 to 30 is 6. It's 8 percentage points off. I was 8 off.
I know. Smaller sample size. Magic had 190 playoff games. Nikola, 70. But honestly, does anybody see him letting up anytime soon when it comes to playoff triple-doubles? So
if he went, let's call it two more games and two more triple-doubles. So it goes to 72.
Yeah.
Would that get him closer to a third?
Closer, yes.
How would it get him to a third?
He's at 24%, so we'll get him over 25%.
Well, I wonder what would get him to. How many games does he have that are triple doubles in that 72?
Well, No.
It's 70?
No.
It's 70?
Let Johnny and Rogue do it.
Hold on.
If he's got.
No, God, please. No.
Guys, do the math. If he's got 24% 70. Of his 70.
He's got this.
Yo, does he?
Let him fly, Mike.
Let him fly. It's like Mama Goose just had
it's like a baby gosling.
Her goslings, and now she's got him perched on the side of the planter. Go! Meet the world! All right, let's see how it works.
All right, so he's got roughly 17 triple-doubles in his 70 games. Right?
Right. So if he got two more in this series, to get to 19 70, out of 72.
And let's call it... A third is 33, right?
Yes.
Times 0.33. He'd need 23. Yeah, he's not going to get him. Not going to get him there.
Well, if he keeps putting up triple doubles, not in this series, but if he keeps putting triple doubles up in every game in the playoffs, he'll quickly get to 33%.
That one didn't go as well as my last match.
No.
Escapade.
You were better yesterday. Papa Murphy's, home of Take a Bake Tuesdays and $5 Fridays. Hey, we're up late last night. We're going to be up late again tonight. Don't worry about dinner. Get yourself a Take and Bake Papa Murphy's pizza. put it in the oven, delicious, enjoy it, and then get ready for the hockey game tonight. Whew. Coming up next, Avalanche fans. Mark says the Avs shouldn't even bother playing tonight. That's how down he is on Alexander Georgiev and the goaltending. Can we convince him to change his mind next?
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
You know I need your love.
Nice. Nicely done, you two.
Yeah, a little Jerry Rafferty.
Long as I got your love.
You two, every... Just about once every day, you guys do something to surprise me. There you go.
Right. This is all Rogue. I won't take anything.
All right, Rogue.
I had no doubt in my mind.
There you go.
It's been you. Oh, man. This is the Zach Wilson's official theme song. All the Cougars out
That's
there.
Right. That's what I missed.
Yeah.
Josh, my bad. Good job, Rogue. I should have seen the...
Should have seen the connection.
Yeah. So, Mark, you're giving the Avs no chance tonight, huh? You're done. Yeah. You've buried them. Their goaltending is too big of a problem to overcome, huh?
Yes. Yeah.
No matter who it is.
They need, obviously they need a miraculous healing by Justice, because Justice is his name. But I have absolutely zero faith in Georgie.
None, huh?
Zero.
So how would you, all right, then if that's the feeling over there, let's say they share the same feeling you do.
Okay.
How do you treat Georgiev this today? Morning skate? After practice, before the game, how do you handle them?
Well, I mean, obviously,
do you continue to just, you know, hey, you can do it,
yeah.
You can do it, we're there for you, you're the man, or do you just tough love? Hey, dude,
do your job.
You sucked the other night.
Do your job. I mean, obviously, you know, putting talc on his little tushy hasn't been helping.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean. Do your job. Can't hang six on Winnipeg and get beat. You can't give up four goals on 10 shots. Sorry. I'm sorry. No.
All right, well let's talk goaltending psychology then for this game. Because while we're focused on what's going on with Georgiev, what do you think the feeling in Winnipeg is? About the performance of Hellebuck in game one. This is a guy who is going to cruise to the Vezina Trophy later this summer.
Mm-hmm.
He gave up six goals.
Yeah.
He looked rattled. He didn't look like a world beater out there. At least the Avalanche go into this game understanding, and they've been dealing with this for some time now. We got goaltending issues. We got a game plan around mm-hmm. them. We got to perform around them. Maybe we got to just go in assuming we've got to score four or five goals minimum.
Right.
And they're accustomed to this. I'm wondering what the mentality is in Winnipeg about their goaltender, because that wasn't something that they counted on. That wasn't something that was in the plan. So at least the Avalanche.
No, they're going to get crappy goaltending.
Well, and they can at least. Be ready for it, mentally prepared for it, game plan around it,
right.
And go out and try to perform around it. What about Winnipeg? Do they know what they're going to get from Hellebuck tonight?
Oh, sure. I think they've got a good understanding of who Hellebuck is and who he's been all season long.
Yeah, but they haven't seen that, Hellebuck.
No, well, I mean, there's always going to be a game or two. But at the same time, you're like, hey, man, if that's the way the Avs are going to play, and they're going to pinch in, and they're going to make defensive mistakes because they're so worried about offense. And one of the goals was, you know, was what, 6-on-5, where they pulled the goalie. But if they're going to be that concerned about, hey, we got to have our big guns score, and we got to commit everything to the offensive side of the ice, then we're going to get plenty of opportunities against the sieve that they've got between the pipes to outscore. Like,
but see, you're falling into a trap that all the issues are Georgiev issues. And all the problems are Georgiev problems. And they're not all him. They were not good defensively. When you've got Hall of Famer Mark Messier, after the first period, doing a post-up with P.K. Subban in front of a street hockey goal that they've got in the studio there at TNT, and there's Steve Levy with a hockey stick, and Messier...
That's where they made their first mistake.
And Messier is like, you can't do what Josh Manson did. You can't stand there like a statue as the puck goes in front of you. You got to get into your guy, and he's boxing out Subban. He goes, you got to be physical. You can't just be a bystander. And there was a lot of that in that game. And even Manson agreed that he was a problem and he needs to be better. Oh, Rogue, I want to play something here. Here's Manson.
You just do. It's part of being a professional, I think, right? It's just figuring out what went wrong and how you can be mentally sharper. You know, like I said, I did feel like offensively I was contributing and making plays and whatever, but, you know, really that's not my game. My game that's kept me in the NHL is putting points on the board. It's keeping pucks out of the net best I can. So I think I got to get back to that a little bit and just getting hard to play against the front of the net and just make a little bit better reads and let the offense come from there. I think, like you said, I did feel like I played a pretty good game, but made a few mistakes and ended up in the back of our net because of it.
Okay, there's accountability, but you didn't hear him say, you know, I got to be better. And, you know, I'm sure Georgie would like to have a couple of those back. He didn't say that. He said, I mean, there were two goals that were direct results of Josh Manson not making good plays.
Okay.
And neither one of those goals were Georgiev's fault. Now, as the game went deeper, and you start getting into goals 4, 5, 6, you know, then you could start looking at Georgiev's performance and saying it was lacking. But the first few goals, just bad play by the Avs. Tighten that up. Then, you know, why can't you play such a tight game defensively that your goaltender can't help but have a good day?
You sound like you work for the Avs. You sound... Like, you sound a little bit like a Rusty right now.
I know, but I
you
know.
Do. Like,
I know.
Going Georgie's close. Really not that.
I know.
Russ isn't that bad.
I know.
Like, they got to change the offense. They're not putting the offense in. They're not. Like,
I know. I'm going full Kiefer. I know. I got you.
Yeah.
But, they can be better.
Sure, they can.
They can be better defensively.
But here's what I'm saying.
Too many people are falling into a trap of blaming it all on Georgiev. I know he has to be better, but you are overlooking the mistakes of some key guys who can and should be better.
We can be better. But my thought process is, okay, they scored 6 goals, right? They're pressing. They got a goal from... Didn't they get a goal from Makar? They got 6 goals. I get that. But part of that was because they had this offensive onslaught mentality to go and pepper Hellebuck.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. They peppered him. With that said, if that's your game plan, you're going to give up some opportunities, some 2-on-1 opportunities. And guess what? Your goaltender, when he sees the puck and the guy's coming down the right-hand side of the ice... And shoots it between his legs. Like, you got to stop that puck.
I just don't think it's as dire as you're making it out to be.
Okay.
They can be better.
Mm-hmm.
Georgie needs to be better.
I just don't think it's as hopeless as you're making it out to be. But see, right now, you sound a little bit like Nick Wright talking about the Lakers. Like, you just talked to me about how the Nuggets or
wow,
the Lakers.
That hurt. Why don't you accuse me of sounding like Skip Bayless, too? Right.
You just said.
Just drive it in.
Right. You said the Lakers, we're their daddies. The Nuggets are just mentally, and they're mentally, you know, just dominating the Lakers, and there's nothing they can do. The series is over. I don't know if you watched Winnipeg and the Avs play this year. 24 goals in 4 games. I, you know, I, Do you think maybe the Winnipeg Jets have a little bit of a mental advantage over the Avalanche right now? I don't know. I'm just, what, you know, if you're going to use that Nuggets Lakers, maybe you should do the same thing with the Jets and Avs.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
That, you haven't hurt me like that in a while.
That does, that hurts. That, that stings a little bit.
That stings a little bit. I'm not going to lie. You just went full Nick Wright and Skip Bayless on me. That,
ow.
I don't know if I can come back from that one.
Stings the nostrils. Yes.
It does. It's kind of like singed. I'm a little bit.
That smells like straight gasoline, Brian.
All right, well, I guess I'll ask the question. Let's take the temperature of Avs fans.
Rectally.
Because we're all about accuracy. Yes. All right, Avs fans, how you feeling going into tonight's game, too? Are you, especially if it is Georgiev between the pipes, as it all signs seem to be pointing that way because Onanen continues to be sick, didn't practice at all yesterday, have a hard time believing a guy who has been sick enough to miss practice the last couple of days is all of a sudden going to be thrown in there tonight. So if it's Georgiev, are you as down on the Avs' chances as Mark seems to be? Let us know. RamosLaw.com, text line 303-713-1043. Up next, let's try to make the case that the Zach Wilson move is a good one, and why? Next.